So what do you get when you cross a wizened Gen Xer with a proud millennial?
Here we go.
A mixtape filled with
Britney Spears songs?
Or maybe a rotary landline telephone
that takes selfies?
Maybe a Tom and Jerry cartoon.
Or Tom and Jerry each get participation trophies?
No, 21st century solutions.
According to Kaylin and Ramsey.
All right, it is Wednesday, May the 4th, 2022. How are you doing today, Kaylin?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. We're feeling a little melancholy this morning because we made good friends while we were here, and they are headed out to their next campground this morning, which is, you know, part of the fun.
Yeah, that must happen a lot.
Yes. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Feeling good. Went for a good run this morning. Getting ready to run a half marathon here in a couple of weeks.
That's exciting. How's it going?
Yeah, it's going pretty well. So I've been sort of training for this for the last 6 months pretty intensely. And I just peaked with a really big run. And now I'm starting to taper. This past weekend, I went for a 16-mile run.
Wow.
That was a lot. That was a lot for me. That's like a lot more than I had ever run previously all in one day. But made it through and I got home and I knew that I had to accomplish three things before I completely lost consciousness. First, I had to successfully make a smoothie. Second, I had to successfully make it up the stairs. And third, I had to change into dry clothing. And I did accomplish all three of those. I figured it would take approximately the same amount of effort to do each one of those things.
Yes.
And it did. But it was funny then. I did. So I managed to get into bed and was just laying there shivering, basically going into shock. And my wife, Mara, got home. She was out. She got home and I'm like laying there in bed and I'm like, yeah, Mara, it's really weird. I'm fainting right now and I'm already laying down. So I'm not really sure what to do. Cause like I tend to have fainting spells, but it's usually really easy to solve. You just lay down. But this is the first time that I started actually fainting while laying down. But she's like, oh, what do I do? Like, I'm not really sure. It's like, well, how about a cold towel? I'm like, okay, sure. A cold towel sounds good. Because that'll probably solve things, which of course it did. So, you know, I laid there with a cold towel and I'm just shivering in my bed. But I did manage to regain consciousness, you know, within a few seconds and, you know, went on with my life. But hey, that is not what we're here to talk about today. Because I understand that this week is basically the 1 year anniversary of the beginning of your epic journey across the country. Is that true?
It is. Today is the 4th. On May 6th of 2021 was when we took ownership of our 43-foot fifth wheel, which happened to be the same day we had to be out of our house that we sold. It was a day. We also woke up to our youngest having an infection. So it was like it was a day, but we made it in and all beds made that night and spent our first night at my dad's house out in the middle of nowhere.
Okay, so 43-foot fifth wheel. Okay, you have to explain to us, like, what do you even mean by that and what was your intention? Like, what was the plan for this year?
So our plan was to basically see as much of the country as we could. You know, we Jack and I both lived in Arlington, Washington, our entire lives. And we wanted to get out. We wanted our kids to experience more and have a more broader knowledge of, you know, of all of the things far and wide. And we just really have made that happen over the last year. So we started looking at our all the different models of fifth wheels. We knew we wanted a fifth wheel because they have the most amount of space. And if you're going to be full time with three kids and a few animals, that's going to mean you need space. And we looked at basically every model out there. We knew that we wanted two toilets with five people, kind of a big deal. And we also knew that we needed a bunkhouse because we do have three children, and we also wanted our oldest to kind of have his own space because the gap in age from his younger siblings is wide. So we wanted him to feel like he had somewhere he could go and decompress and all of that. And our 2021 Sanibel met all those marks. We actually were not going to look at it. We were going to this RV dealership to look at a different RV. And the sales guy showed us the one that we were there to look at. And then he goes, "You guys really may like this other option." And took us over to the Sanibel, and we fell in love. And it already had a deposit on it, which is another long story, but that deposit
From
ended up
someone else.
canceling. Yes. Because RV life, blew up during COVID. Everybody, rather full time or just recreationally, everybody was looking at RVs. So we really lucked out being able to get this one. Otherwise, we would have had to move on, or we would have had to wait for them to order another one from the factory. So,
And you had and you and you got a new truck also, right?
yes. So we sold my car, and we've kept our old truck. It's a 01 Tacoma that's going to run forever, probably be all of our kids' first cars. And we bought we also were planning to buy a brand new truck, just so that we, if anything happened on the road, we would be covered. But during COVID and all of those things, there was a chip shortage because there are some chip issues with diesel trucks. And we knew we wanted a diesel to be able to, tow the max capacity of this ginormous beast. And so we ended up settling for a 2020 with really low miles on it in our local dealership where we had purchased our last vehicle, and my family had been purchasing vehicles forever. Happened to have basically our ideal model come in right at the time we were looking. So we really lucked out in both of those purchases.
And what possessed you and your family to go on this adventure to sell your house and to, put a bunch of your worldly possessions aside and, go off and drive around the country for a year? Like, what is that something that you've wanted to do for a long time, or is it something that came up? Like, why? What inspired you to go on this adventure?
Well, I have always loved camping, and my family's all had RVs my entire life. And Jack also grew up camping and being out in the wilderness and just experiencing all that nature has to offer off grid. And during 2020, we experienced so many changes, and we were so isolated at home. And we had started taking little trips here and there with our kids and just really enjoyed it. The kids really enjoyed it. And we just had felt like we'd experienced all Washington had to offer, and there's other parts of the country that are equally as beautiful and even more friendly, and different cultures out there. And being stuck at home for 2 years, you had all these new ideas, and it felt like the right time and the right thing for our family. We read other people's blogs about it and how their family was enjoying it. And we had already made the choice to homeschool because of COVID. We were not sending, our young children to school to sit at computers. That didn't feel right to us. So we had already made the choice to bring homeschooling in-house, and now we road school, as a lot of full-time RVers call it. And
yeah,
it just felt right.
That's awesome. So did it get off to a real nice, smooth start, piece of cake, everything went exactly the way you planned, or what?
Oh, did it? No. best made plans. We had planned to set up everything at my dad's, because we were on this such a tight schedule of that the RV dealership couldn't do our walkthrough until the day we were supposed to be out of our house. We knew that there was going to be some setup time while we were living in it. So we made plans to have a enclosed trailer with all of the things that we were bringing with us, and spend a week to 10 days at my dad's house, getting everything ready before we hit the road to our first Thousand Trails, which Thousand Trails, if you full-time RV, is a necessity. It keeps your costs down. It makes booking at parks really easy. And they're all over the country. And so we pulled into my dad's, and when we picked our RV up after our walkthrough, we noticed as we were pulling out of the dealership that the trailer brakes on the truck where the trailer brakes would show was not lighting up. And we were hoping it was just a connection issue. We were already pulled out of the dealership, and my dad didn't live super far away from the dealership. So we're like, we'll get there. And we'll figure it out when we get there. So trailer brakes are obviously a huge deal when you're in a 40-foot fifth wheel that weighs 13,000 pounds, not loaded down with all of your stuff. So,
oh my gosh,
that started a very long journey. The RV dealership was great, though. I called them, of course, the very first thing the next morning, and they're like, "We're gonna figure this out together." And it unfortunately took a really long time to figure out what the issue was. For those who've never bought an RV or don't know anyone who's bought an RV brand new, they are not put together as well as you would hope for, especially as for the amount you pay for. I've heard everybody say that they all are built like it's a Friday at 2 o'clock, which very, very true. And so the problem ended up being that the brake line, or the electrical for the brakes, came up to the electrical box, but never hooked into it. It just didn't go anywhere. It just went right back to the grounding wire. And it's funny because the very first night, my best friend's husband had actually said, "I don't think this wire is going anywhere." And then we had several technicians come out. And on the fourth time, they had sent out a outside mobile mechanic, and he figured it out, and we finally had trailer brakes. So our first real voyage out was 4 weeks later, and we headed to our first Thousand Trails in Concrete, Washington, and started our journey away from home.
Wow. So in the first few weeks, so you headed off, you made it onto your travel. What was that like? Were there some big adjustments to getting used to doing that?
Yes and no. I mean, we've always been like such a strong family unit of five anyway, that it just felt natural for us to all be together. And, we We had figured out our growing pains over those 4 weeks at my dad's, getting internet and all of those things. And so I would say, like, we just really enjoyed our first 2 weeks at a park away from our hometown. And it was nice because we could, we still knew the area and everything, and it was a good introduction into our RV life. Of course, we're all locked in an RV that's 43 feet long, but we just really went on with our lives as they already were. Kids made friends at the campground, and we just really started our journey. And then we moved out to another Thousand Trails called Birch Bay, or in Birch Bay, and enjoyed the water for a few weeks. We got to enjoy Father's Day with my parents. They came up to see us while we were there. And then after a few weeks there, we started our journey east over the North Cascades. And for those who've never been on Highway 20, the North Cascades, it's quite the pass to kind of have your maiden voyage over the mountains. Jack and I often joked that if we could make it over Highway 20, heading east through the North Cascades, we can make it through anything. And that's really been true.
Trial by fire.
Yes. Yes.
And what is the RV life like? Like, how would you describe it?
I would just say it's one big adventure every day. We get to meet new families, whether they're recreational or full-time like us, daily, weekly, monthly. Sometimes we get hooked up with the same, our kids are hooked up with the same kids for the entire time we're at a campground. They really have gotten to, learn how to build relationships really quickly. And it's really interesting to watch and see. And all of the other full-time kids are the same way. They're navigating this life together. And it's really fun to watch different sets of kids come together and what they learn from each other and get to learn how they do road school and how their family deals with life on the road and away from family. So we just over the summer of last summer, we really focused on just seeing everything that we could. We got to go to multiple national parks. We did Yellowstone and Grand Tetons, and we got to go to Great Falls, Montana, and go to the Lewis and Clark Interpretive Center. So we really learned, like, in the first few months, how easy it is to road school and for our kids to learn without having a real like set schedule or a real set plan for
Right,
homeschooling.
right. It seems like such an amazing opportunity for your kids, and for their education, because it's like, usually you think of school having a curriculum that is, really predefined and, specific, and then the best that you get is like the pictures in the book. But I mean,
Yes.
it's like you guys are just on one continuous field trip for the
Yes.
entire year, and you're finding things to learn about, like literally around every corner. So that's just cool. Like, do you sort of coordinate and plan out, or do you sort of find things to teach about? Like, how much do you connect the kids' schooling to where they are in the country?
Yeah, so we keep our basic studies the same and moving in the same direction. Math and reading and literature and all of those are we do follow a curriculum for those. And then social studies and history and all that is just the area that we're in. the younger two are only 4 and 5, and they actually turned 4 and 5 on the trip. So when we started, they were 3 and 4, and so they just kind of go with the flow, and dad does
Yeah.
their ABCs with them and those kind of things. But for Owen, our 8-year-old, it is always a new history lesson, a new social studies lesson, new culture to experience everywhere we go. And we, plan out these adventures. And the really great thing about like the national parks and the state parks is that they, when you get there, they already have those items for you, in scavenger hunts and different options for the kids. So the learning tools when we get there are already there, which is amazing. And a lot of people don't know that if you haven't experienced it. So we are able to, go there with the plan that we're going to do whatever the park has to offer for that week, and the rangers are
Yeah.
always great, and so it's really fun.
Very cool. What were some of the most surprising things that you've encountered or experienced? You know, things that you sort of you had a perspective, you thought it was going to be a certain way, but what has surprised you on this journey?
I think the surprising thing for me has been that we get to make these really great connections with people, and then we're kind of sad when we're leaving them. We get into a groove for a few weeks, and then it's like, oh, well, that was a really fun 2 weeks, and now we are never going to see them again. And so it's kind of a weird, that's something you don't experience usually in life. When you're in one place, you build relationships, for life, or for the time that you're working somewhere or something like that. So it's a very, different, emotion that you're not used to experiencing like on a weekly basis. But the other thing, but the things that surprise me is how well our kids adjust. Everybody always says kids are resilient, but I think being on the road, you really get to see that, because our kids are like, well, we'll just go make new friends. Like today, it's, there's a million, not a million, but there's hundreds of other campers here, and they'll have new best friends by tomorrow. So it's really, to see the engagement that our kids get to experience is really amazing. And I know that that's what a lot of people were worried about for us, going on the road, is their socialization. And I know for people wonder that for homeschool in general too. And but the opportunities are just endless for having a socialization. And that doesn't just include other kids, that includes other adults as well. Because every campground we go to, they're meeting new rangers, whether it's a Thousand Trails ranger, which are usually grandparent age people who do have grandkids, and they're amazing with the kids. And I think one of the other big surprises for me is how much the other campers who don't have children actually enjoy the kids. I was worried because, as you follow the weather around, that means you're following a lot of retired snowbirds around too. And I wasn't sure how that would go, how they feel about so many, full-timers coming out and having kids on the road. And while we've had a few bad experiences, some notes left on our doors about how loud it is in our trailer, you just have to think those people are just
You
unhappy.
think it's loud outside? You should try inside.
Yes, exactly. And I love it when we're parked next to other families, because I'm like, yes, they're just as loud as we are. And of course, we are always, being respectful and reminding our kids that there are people right next door and those kind of things. But you do run into the people who just maybe aren't happy and aren't happy to see people or have kids around. But that's been like super minimal. And I was worried about that aspect of it. And really it's been quite the opposite. They want to help our kids learn about the area, especially when you're somewhere where there's a lot of people who spend like their whole winter in that place, or if they spend their whole summer in that place, they really want to help your kids learn about the area and the culture that's going on around them, which has been really fun. We were in Texas, close to South Padre Island, and we actually stayed at a 55 and over park that lets Thousand Trails members stay there with children. And everyone that lives there for the winter was just like so excited to see our kids. When we would go to the pool, it's like a bunch of people would come out and go to the pool. And so it's just been really fun to watch our kids make those connections and us. And I've like learned so much from other people about where to go, things to do, where they love living, where they don't love living, all of those things, just the connections and the knowledge that we've been able to acquire from other campers is fascinating, honestly.
Well, I'm so like encouraged by what you're talking about. It's like it sounds like you've learned a whole lot about humanity and about people, and in these days that we're in, so many people are isolated, if not completely housebound, just because of these crazy times that we're living in. But you say, okay, well, you want me to be housebound? Fine. I'll take the house with me. We're going.
Yes,
So
exactly.
what did you so you know this these past this past year there have been all kinds of COVID issues. I mean, did any of that give you guys any trouble? Like, did you run into it? Did you catch a little bout of it and get over it? Like, because it, I mean, so many people have been and continue to be really super cautious about interacting with other people, especially people they don't know. And like, what was that like?
Well, I think one of the things that was really helpful in the beginning of our journey is that everything we do is outside. So we're not indoors with people and interacting with them indoors, which has been, what they've suggested from the very beginning is being outdoors and staying, social distancing, which it's hard to get your kids to social distance with other
Yeah,
kids.
they're like, what?
Yeah.
No,
But
we're wrestling. We're rolling around in
yes.
the dirt. Like, what is this?
And so, we just really had this, like, we have to continue to live outlook. We definitely, in the beginning of COVID and for the first year and several months, kept our distance, and we were doing like Airbnbs and making sure that we, when we did those Airbnbs, that when we went and did things outside of the house, that we were, still doing outdoor activities and being cautious. However, in January, we were at a Thousand Trails in Palm Springs, which is beautiful and amazing, and probably one of the funnest 3 week stretches that our kids have had. But with that came that the entire campground passed around COVID,
Nice,
for a good
nice.
few weeks. So that was our, Jack and I are both vaccinated. So we did have it, but it was very minimal. Our kids, all three of them, went through it, and it was also very minimal symptoms. It was funny because while we were in Palm Springs, it was just full of full-time families. And that's why I said our kids had like the best time ever. But it was like one family down, the next family down, and then it might go back through that same family because one person didn't have it. And we were joking about that we should all hang black plague signs on the outside of our trailers, warn the other
Some
families.
caution tape.
Yeah, but all of the other families had the same outlook as us. Like, it's going to happen. Kind of like it felt like the 90s chicken pox. Where our when I got the chicken pox, my mom sent me to daycare so all of the other kids could get the chicken pox at the same time, and then we were just done with it. So it kind of felt like that mentality when we did get to Palm Springs, and there was so much of it running through the park.
And even and this is probably the Omicron days, right? Where it's much more of like an upper respiratory or head cold kind of
It
stage
was,
that COVID got into.
yes, exactly. And very, very minimal symptoms. So now we feel like we were vaccinated, we've had it, and we are good to
Yeah, you're good. You're done.
Yes.
And like, where all have you been? Like, where have you been? And are you done? Are you still going?
Yes, well, definitely still going. We are currently in Tennessee, but we started in Washington and we went across the West. So we went to Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, South Dakota. We love the Black Hills. That's one of our we had been there previously, and so I actually had planned to take vacation while we were there, and so I had a week off while we stayed in the Black Hills, and we explored everything that we'd explored before, and then much, much more. And loved that. And we headed out of South Dakota and to Wisconsin. So we beat feet across South Dakota. We did stay in the eastern side of South Dakota for a week. We like to kind of stay somewhere stationary for a week because it is a lot to get this trailer moving. And so we went all the way as far east as Milwaukee. My cousin actually has a dairy farm in New London, Wisconsin. So we stayed there for a few, or nearby, not on the farm, but nearby for a few weeks, and then went to Milwaukee and stayed in a beautiful state park right on the edge of the lake there, which was really nice. And then we headed back to the West. We had plans to meet friends from home in Mesa, Arizona for Halloween. So we started headed back west, and did like all of the red rock that you could ever see. We've seen all of the red rocks that you can think of. We
Every
did,
red rock.
yes, yep, exactly. We did Moab, and we
Leave
did,
no red rock unturned.
yes, exactly. So we saw all of Utah. It was beautiful. I am so glad that we got to experience Moab, and then we went down to St. George, which is also a beautiful town, and then headed down into the desert. We actually stayed at one of our favorite campgrounds ever is in Mesa, and we stayed out at a regional county park that was full of old growth cactuses, and you could not really see other RVs from your spot, and the night sky was like nothing you can experience close to Seattle, that's for sure. Yeah, and so we had a great time in Arizona. We love the desert. I would live there if it, wasn't, to wrap this back around to what you and I do. If the desert wasn't going to be inhabitable, in the next couple hundred years, it might be where we would settle. But everything going on in the desert with Lake
Lots of
Powell.
solar access.
Yes, absolutely. And actually, I got to meet lots of solar clients in Arizona, which was fun. And we got to experience more red rock while we were in Arizona. We did Sedona, and one of my favorite things was getting to go to the Native American stands that are along the road there and get to buy jewelry from the actual artist. That was on my bucket list, and I literally was like crying when we left because that was like so important to me, and I just loved it. I love that area. Like I said, we would live there if we could. There's a beautiful Thousand Trails there in the Verde Valley that we stayed at, where I would get to watch the sunset on the Red Mesas behind my computer every day. Like, people don't get to do that, and I just felt so overwhelmed by how much we loved it. And then we headed to California, which, we come from a pretty conservative town, and everybody was like, "You're gonna take your kids to California?" I'm like, "Well, we're not gonna put them in harm's way." not intentionally.
Not if we're
Thousand Trails
dropping them
are,
off.
yes, Thousand Trails are very safe. They're all gated and all of that. And we actually loved our time in California. We did do Disneyland, which we hadn't been there in several years, so that was really fun to get to do. And then we headed down to San Diego County and spent 5 weeks in San Diego County, which was not only just beautiful, but also I feel like our kids learned a lot about culture there. We stayed right on the border, at a Thousand Trails there that Border Patrol patrols on the regular, and we saw migrants being picked up by Border Patrol. All of those things. Those, kids who live in the middle of the country, they never experienced those things. And our kids got to experience that firsthand, and we got to talk to them about it, and a lot of open conversations were started. And while it was sometimes a little scary, we always had helicopters flying over at night and all of those things. It also was just such a teaching tool for us, that it may not be for everybody, but we enjoyed getting to have that time with our kids. We also got to go to the Pacific Ocean, which our kids, of course, have been to the Pacific Ocean in Washington. But in Southern California, it's very different. And we spent a few
A little
days at
warmer.
Cove. Yes, a little warmer. It's funny though, because all the Californians are out on the beach, but they're all like dressed in winter clothes and stuff, and it's 60 degrees out and our kids are in the water. In Washington, you can go to the ocean in August and 60 degrees is warm. So yeah, so we
Oh,
just
man.
really, really enjoyed California. And headed out to Texas. We spent a couple months in Texas, and I had heard that Texans were nice and friendly, and could not have experienced that more. We really enjoyed Texas until the spring storms came. That is something we don't experience in Washington, is spring storms coming off the Gulf of Mexico are fast and furious. And we fortunately were just on the edge of storm season, and got out of there. And yeah, we were just continuing to move east. We will be spending our summer in Amish country, and then in we get to stay on Lake George on the Hudson in New York, and then head to Maine to stay on the beach for several weeks. And then our plan is to kind of park hop around Florida for the winter. And who can say no to Florida in the winter time?
Obviously, that's what you should do. Well, we're going to have to get more updates on, where you're heading to and where you land at and hear more stories. We should probably wrap this one up though, today. So, any closing thoughts and particularly about how and what you've been experiencing, how that works back around to these 21st century solutions that we are exploring, what kind of perspective have you gained that sort of gives you some insights into kind of experiencing the world today?
I think this journey is a 21st century solution because I get to learn from so many people who grew up differently in different parts of the country, in different parts of the world, even. So learning their perspective gives me more perspective on the country and the world. Every family we meet is different because they all have different careers. They come from different all backgrounds of life, and just gives us and our kids more insight to the world than I had ever imagined us gaining, and definitely stuck in our northwest corner of the world, we have all different walks of life there too and experiences, and we've just been able to build off of that. And I love being able to share also my solutions with people. I talk about solar often with people. A lot of people we know like to boondock. Our RV is not quite built for boondocking, but boondocking is huge in the RV world, obviously. And getting to talk solar and storage and all of those things, and solutions for the world. We're here on May 4th, and there are big news out right now that are going to affect all of us. And I get to have those conversations, like repealing Roe versus Wade, with people from every corner of the country, and who all have different opinions and all have different experiences to share.
So it's like the ultimate getting out of your bubble. That bubble is just burst, it's shattered. You're
Yes.
not stuck in any form of echo chamber. You're outdoors. There's no echoes whatsoever.
Nope.
You're talking to people from all over the place. So
And
would
I
you
think,
recommend the RV life to people?
yes, absolutely. I mean, be prepared. It's a lot of work, I'm not gonna lie. I spend a lot of time scheduling and making sure that our trip is going smoothly. But I also am not doing things like yard work or house maintenance, and cleaning is very minimal when you don't have that much space. So if your family is looking for a change and you are looking for a way to reconnect with your kids, an RV, whether it be full time or just recreational or weekend warriors, as we call them, is a great way to experience life together.
That sounds great. Well, let's wrap it there. So looking forward to another episode next week, and talk to you soon. Bye bye.
Bye-bye.